God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wise Women, the podcast that is designed to bring you wisdom from women of all ages, but certainly those who have traveled on the course of this life a little bit longer in years, because there's nothing like experience to have some wisdom driven into your awareness. And it seems important for that wisdom to be disseminated to those who have an ear to listen. So we were very fortunate to have Amber Wiltse on previously. And because of the nature of her work, we have felt that it was important to elucidate on what she does and how to bring some very practical things into the conversation for others to be able to engage with her. Now, Amber has, if you weren't listening to the previous show, she has been on a spiritual journey her entire life. She was born and raised in South Orange, New Jersey, and she graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Chemical Engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark, New Jersey. But when she was in college, she met the love of her life. And they were married in 1973. And they spent the next 39 years traveling the world, which included a 7-year residence in Saudi Arabia. And so a lot of what tonight, today is going to be about relates to her marriage and the man that was her life partner for all those years. So we have an opportunity to engage in some things that I think are very critically important in today's current conditions, because we have been on a speeded up course of changes that consciousness in most of us has, you know, we've got whiplash. What the hell's happening? And where did it all come from? And oh my God. So we need to share with each other things that can assist us to bring things to us that can help us. And that's critically important. Gary Null, of course, he had a wonderful show on Tuesday. I really enjoyed, you know, his conversation. He's so very bold and so direct that he, you know, he says things in such a powerful, direct way. He does make me laugh. So he did that today. So with that said, I would very much like to welcome Amber Wiltse to Wise Women. Amber, welcome.
Thank you, Kathleen. Glad to be here.
Yes, and we're glad to have you. So before the show, we were talking a little bit about, you know, there's some really intense energies going on. I know I've talked to so many of my associates and they can feel something in the air. That's powering into those of us that are receptive to these new energies. And I was also reading about the circling, the animals that are circling, fish are circling and goats are circling. And I was told in another podcast that this has to do with Mother Earth. You know, Mother Earth is a sentient being, and that these energies are, she's detoxing herself, and these energies are being demonstrated through these animals circling and circling for hours and hours and days. And so it's a wonderful physical demonstration of what many of us are feeling. What do you have to say about that?
I think we're all circling right now. Around about our lives, we're circling around about where we are right now. We're circling around about what are we going to do, where are we going. You know, as soon as the thought comes up, it doesn't just stay there. We keep going around and around trying to understand what it is. What does this mean to me? What is the wisdom I'm supposed to get from this? And so I think that's the same thing that's happening with the animal kingdom and with everything that, we're dealing with, is that everything has to, in ascension, every one of us has to go back and reclaim what we have not owned wisdom on. You can't ascend
beautiful.
If you don't own the path. Yeah.
So that's exactly, yes, because what's been happening for me personally, to relate to what you just said, is I feel like, and it comes in waves, I feel like a part of myself that's really big and profound and wise is emerging as I speak into a conversation. And even if those, whoever I'm talking to doesn't understand or notice it, I notice it. And I'm going, wow, I have to own this about myself. I really have to own this. And it's not like... and it's not an arrogance. It's really, privilege, but it's also a responsibility to own who we really are.
Yes. Yes. Because how can you help someone else if you haven't already done that job for yourself? And so as women of wisdom on a path, spiritually, with our families, emotionally, mentally, physically, because we're being tested on every level. We're being pressured on every single level to own something so we can move to a higher understanding, and that the ascension process is what we're being hit with. And on top of that, we're being hit with the energies from, you know, the sun. Now, if you contemplate the sun being like a mother and the earth being like a child, what happens when the child cries out for help, for food? Mother sends energy, brings herself over. So what's happening with the sun? The sun is hearing the cry from the earth and all the planets, but particularly the earth, because there's so much lack and so much fear and so much limitation and so many emotional and mental things that are happening to every single one of us, that the sun is like the mother saying, hold on. And so she sends the feeding. And that's what these, you know, solar maximums are and the solar ejections are. It's like the feeding of the mother to the child. And we're getting...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's such a wonderful insight. Really appreciate that. Yes. And that makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And that's why we feel all this, you know, energy. Sometimes when the solar... mass ejections hit us, we feel heavy. We feel, oh, I can't have to sleep. Because there are blocks inside of us mentally, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically that have to be removed. How can you ascend if with a block on you? You can't. And so the mother is feeding us with this energy that helps to raise that frequency in all kinds of ways. So we may find ourselves uptight, nervous. We may find ourselves, you know, going through a circling of our life. What happened? How did that happen? Why did I do it? You know, or whatever. And that's all healing. And it's important.
Yeah, a lot of it's uncomfortable, but also very exciting at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I that song, I can't remember who sang it, but you know, it's like, I'm so glad to be me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you jealous? You're not me. You know, and you know, because I do a lot of self-recrimination and lots of regrets, and I should have done this and I should have done that. And how come I didn't do this right? And how come I'm not better at that? You know, I do that.
Yes.
And, but you know, the last couple of weeks, oddly enough, and this is, I say it's odd for me because I have mastered beating myself up, you know.
When you're awake, you do that.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and,
you can't look at everything you've done and say, oh, I should have done that. I could have
correct.
Done that. But exactly what you did was exactly the right path.
Well, but the last couple of weeks I've been waking up and going, wow, I'm so cool. What's today going to look like? And I get the kind of, and I'll bet you do too. You know, I just get these reflections back. I mean, people in the supermarket stop and say something to me, or they'll say, "Oh, you're so beautiful," or "Oh, you know, whatever."
Yes.
And
yes.
And you know, it's for strangers to have the courage to step up and say something to another stranger that's so complimentary. You have to go, I got to take that in. Then if what they're saying is there, then I need to own that on another level. It's just time.
Yes. And I always know when I'm shining, because I can go to the store in just an ordinary outfit and someone will come up and say, "Oh my God, I just love your outfit." And I know it has nothing to do with that, but it has to do with there's something that I'm emanating.
Yes, yes. It's true.
Yes.
And isn't it wonderful, one, that we've come to this in ourselves, and two, that there are people who are actually receptive to it.
Yes.
I mean, that to me is like exciting.
Well, you know, I used to practice this at 4th of July here in Washington. In Tumwater, they used to have thousands and thousands of people come out to this park. It's like a golf course. And they'd come out a few hours early, and they'd sit around and have a picnic, and they'd have music and food and things for the kids to play. And every time I went there, I made a decision that I was going to shine, and I was going to walk through the crowd and see how many people recognized. And so I did that. It was really interesting because there were people like bending over, looking at stuff and very involved with the family, and I'd walk by and shine at them. And all of a sudden they go like that.
Yes.
They recognized. And so I felt that in the moment, you know, Ramtha used to say, you know, when a Christ walks through the marketplace, everyone is changed. And so I wanted to practice what that was.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just yesterday, when some friends came to my little shop, and they were so kind. And, you know, I mean, I get so much recognition in my shop because people are coming in and, you know, we're strangers, but not strangers. You know, it's like, oh, hi, hello again. And they insisted on taking me to dinner. So I said, okay. You know, it was so, when they walked in the door, I said to, and I never said that before, but I said, "Oh, the room got brighter when you guys walked in." You know?
That's how beautiful.
And over dinner, I said, you know, just us being together, we're amplifying our own soul's beauty by being in each other's presence.
Right. And everyone around.
Yeah. You know, we rub off on each other, you know? And so, you know, that which you're saying, who knows how we impact people as we walk through the supermarket.
Exactly.
You see? Because I know myself, you know, there were times I traveled it like you did it. You know, I remember being in India, in the New Delhi. God, it was so god-awful, ugly and dirty at New Delhi in India. And there was this older man, and I started talking to him, and there were delays in the flights and so on. But he was also an author and so on, an older man, and I wasn't as old that time. And I never forgot him because there was something about that simple, short conversation that we had, you know.
We can,
yeah. And, you know, people... It's how do you touch people who don't know at all what that even is or is about? I mean, is it really true that not everybody's going to go? Can't expect everybody's going to go? I saw that cute video. I have to send it to you about this guy saying, not everybody's going to go. It's just the way it is, you know? But you know,
everybody will be affected. See, they may not go at this moment, but... All these people that are going will affect those that are left behind and imprint on their soul, on their genetics, on their emotions, and on their spirit that there's something more than what they had realized. Everyone goes. And as Ramtha once said, you know, and I said, you know, about the path, I said, well, what path you know, the path. What's the path? He said, whatever one you choose. I said, no, you don't understand. I mean, the path. You know, what is the path?
Right.
He said, whatever one you choose. And I was frustrated. I was like, wait a minute. I'm trying to say something here. There's the path. He said, entity, whatever one you choose is the path that you should be on. There is
no problem. Mm. Mm. So, and do you know, by the way, as a little aside, that so many years ago when I was in Los Angeles, I went to Ramtha when he was in a church basement with folding chairs when he first started.
Interesting.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
You know, and you and I talked about connecting the dots from where we are to looking back and seeing how we were always in this destiny, destiny of connectedness with each other and the path that we're on to whatever good end we have agreed to serve, you know? Yes. But now I really want to focus on what we promised our guests. And that has to do with the work that you did with your husband. You know, it's like, there's just, I mean, I get together with you and then I start chattering away, but there's so much in you that I want to, you know, mine, like get the gold out with my little pick in hand and, you know, shovels. And yeah.
Well,
so
I can talk about my journey with him before quickly and then what happened after.
Yes, and let's also remind people of the book you wrote.
Yes, it's called Ramtha and Me, One Woman's Journey in a School of Ancient Wisdom. And that, if we have time before the end of the show, I'd like to talk about how that name was given to me and how actually the book was written.
Oh, yes.
Because that was also listening to the voice inside and at the time, not wanting to follow up, but being told, you will do this.
I know that one.
But anyway, my husband and I were together since we were freshmen in college. And we broke up many times and got back together over the 4 years. And that's because we were total opposites.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My husband and I were not the same. We were total opposites. And soulmates, even though we're not soulmates, he was the closest thing to a soulmate. So soulmates are not the exact same reflection of you. They're exact opposite of you. That's why a soulmate connection is so powerful, but also so difficult.
Oh, amen.
Yes. And so when we got together, we argued over everything. If he said the sun, I said, no, that's the moon. If he said that's red, I said, no, it's purple. And we would argue for hours over that one point. So there were people in our school that were going out, and they said, we're not going out with you. You've done nothing, the two of you, but argue the entire night.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that for 4 years in college, and then we did for 7 years in our marriage.
Wow.
And it's not an easy thing to stay there when you're both opposite. So when soulmates or something that's like a soulmate come together, one goes in this direction and the other goes in the opposite direction. And then when the other one changes and goes back, this one goes this way. And so you're constantly rubbing and friction off each other, constantly back and forth. And so it's like having, you know, two many pointed stars going back and forth against each other and knocking each other's high points off, meaning the parts that you don't connect on.
Yes.
And then what happens is after a period of time, there are no more rough edges between you, and then you all together. So that's what happens with soulmates. They do this and this and this and this until they finally do this. They roll and they move as one. And so 7 years of our marriage was about, you know, constantly breaking those hard points off between us.
And, what a great way to explain that. Because no doubt people listening are relating to what you just said.
And most people won't stay in there and stick with it because they feel, well, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But as my husband once said to me, he said, Am, I could never leave you. And there's no point. I said, why? What are you saying? He said, well, if I leave you and go in another direction, I'm just going to run into myself and another person.
I love it. About.
It's not about him and it's not about me. It's about what's inside me that's seeing myself in him that I don't want to look at. And it's what's inside of him that's seeing itself in me that he doesn't want to look at.
Yeah.
And so when you own that that person in front of you is you, well, now things are different. And so in the 7 years after our marriage, after we were married, about a year before, he was given the opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia. And in that place, that means he was going to be away for 3 months and I was going to be in the house by myself. And I really didn't like that thought. Anyway, he came home and he asked me, if you I have this opportunity. If you say no, I won't go.
Mm.
And I thought about it. And I said, if I say no, that you shouldn't go, you'll never forgive me.
Mm.
Actually, we'll go in separate places. I have to say yes, even though I'm screaming inside, say no. But I must say yes, because that's to your benefit.
Yes, and that's love. That's love.
Yes.
You know, and that's a wonderful opportunity, I think, for you or for anybody to be up against something where you really don't like it, but you want that for the other person. You want them to have what it seems evident that they need or want.
Yes.
And, you know, I think to hold anyone hostage in a certain way for your own benefit in a relationship is not the highest at all.
No.
And,
that's the
you know,
death of the relationship eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he went, and in that leaving for 3 months, he said, I just love you so much. I'm going to grow up if it kills me.
Ah!
He said, can you forgive me and fall in love with me again? And so,
wow.
We decided to take our journey to have our children and eventually go over to Saudi Arabia, where we were even closer in that journey because we left everything behind of everything we knew, family, friends, culture, religion, politics, you name it. It was not there. And that's also when we started our spiritual journey, because in leaving everything behind, you're opened up to have something that you've never experienced before.
Sure.
When we stay in our past, when we stay in our comfort zone, we stay in limitation.
Yes. Boy, I do. I certainly have that one down really well. I break every rule, the way that people think, well, you should, relationships with people. I break every rule when it comes to relationships with people.
Yeah,
and I make a point of it, to tell you the truth. No, I really do.
I know.
I really do. You
laughing.
Bet.
Sounds like
yeah, because I mean, it's like, it's so ridiculous, you know, the distinctions, you know, and I came up against this with, you know, a new man that I met recently, you know, I'm like, the concepts that people have about women and women about men, you know, they're inbred into their thinking and it doesn't even come out until like something provokes it.
Yes,
and to see these limiting concepts, well, women want to control men. And I thought, who the hell would want to control anybody? That ain't me.
I think a lot of people think it's the opposite, that men want to control women. So it's that same thing. It's same.
Yes, it is. But you know, things like that you know are when you have, and it can be even a concept that you're not even aware you have, that you picked up somewhere along the line, and yet that is a limitation for you know whatever relationship you've got with anybody.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I found, and it took me a long time to learn this lesson, almost 40, oh, 40 years and the 43 years we were together. Let's just say that, if you count college and everything else.
Right.
But the big lesson I had to learn is that I could not prejudge what I thought my husband was thinking or saying to me.
And or even saying?
Yes, yes. Because what he said went into my neural net inside my brain, and right. I heard it differently than what he was saying and what he meant.
Yes. And so, that is one of the biggest issues with communication. Go ahead.
Yes. And so I realized after a long time of fighting about, well, did you say that to me? I'm insulted. Da, 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 da.
And he was, yeah.
And I finally said, okay, I hear you say this to me, and that makes me upset that you would think to say that to me.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he says, that's not what I was saying.
Exactly.
Thinking. And for the first time I said, oh, wake up call. What yeah. you think someone's thinking is not what they're thinking potentially. And right. the best way to find out is to ask them, is that what you're saying to me?
That, yeah, it seems so logical, but we miss the point.
We do, because we go inside our head and think that what's in here is totally right.
Correct.
So yep. that's a big lesson that I learned in my marriage. And so getting back to Ed, when we didn't even know Ed was sick, because he was very strong and he kept working no matter what, and he never complained. And we didn't find out until it was too late that he had 4-stage pancreatic cancer. And when he went into the hospital the first time, we had done healings on other people and had changed the reality. We had changed timelines for our kids where they were going to be killed in a car accident or something else. So we knew how to change reality.
Yeah.
And so when the doctor said...
Because you went to the Harry Potter School of Wisdom.
And we were taught that.
Sorry, I had to say that.
We were taught that. It's like, what's the science behind it? Quantum physics. What is quantum
right.
physics? The tiny particles. If you focus on the tiny particles, which come down from the mind of God and eventually interact with your body, if you change what they are, you can change what's happening in your life.
Yes.
What I didn't know is you can't change it if someone else is God and they already have a plan that they're working on.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Oh,
exactly. So that I did not know. And so when the doctor in January, my husband died in March. When the doctor in January said, I'm so sorry, but you have 4-stage pancreatic cancer. I said, don't worry about it, Ed. We'll heal it. No big deal. You can do this.
Yeah.
Than it before.
Yes.
Different things that we'd worked on.
Right.
So I proceeded to do that with him and with my family. And he looked like he was getting better, and then he got sick. And then he went back in. My husband did everything on holidays before he passed. And our anniversary, he was in the hospital finishing an operation. He said, I'm going to take you away someplace really special this year. I said, wow, this is really nice. You know, I have a view of the parking lot and all the trees. Every day, getting service. She said, Amber, stop it. So I tried to make light of what the situation was.
Yes.
Then he went back in on Valentine's Day. He couldn't get out of bed. He had gone systemic. And so we took him in, and he went unconscious. He was put in. He was put in the intensive care. Thousands of people all over the planet prayed for him, along with my family. And he didn't want to be there. When he was in the intensive care, he started pulling the tubes out of himself. And so I had gone out for a minute to go to the restroom. When I came back, they had his hands tied to the bed. And I said, who's done this to him? They said, we can't have him pulling his tubes out. I said, take these things off. I will hold his hands all night, both his hands. And so I sat by his bed and held both of his hands and told him, Ed, it's okay. I'm here with you. It's okay. We just have to do this healing, honey. Just, you'll be okay. And I sat on this stool next to his bed and just held his hands all night and prayed and meditated and focused on his healing. And within a few days, he woke up out of this unconscious state. And they said, this is impossible. This can't be happening. And so they said, well, we're going to move him out of intensive care into the hospital, up into the other rooms. And so they moved him. And he went into the other rooms. And then he got sick again, really sick. And so the doctor kept coming in every day and telling me, your husband's going to die today. I said to the doctor, you listen to me. Don't you dare come into this room, tell my husband in front of him he's going to die. Don't you ever say that again, because I'm working on something called quantum physics, and that's changing reality. And he didn't even know what quantum physics was.
Right, I know. so, 90% of the world thinks we're crazy.
Exactly. And so, because they haven't studied quantum physics, that's why.
Correct.
And so, about 4 days later, he told me, I don't think your husband's going to make it past today. He told me that outside. He didn't tell his son. So I called, he said, call up your children because they may want to come in. So I called my children and I said, come in, because we're either going to heal your father or you're going to say goodbye. I don't know which one it is. It depends on his, you know, his journey and our journey and what, how well we do. So they came in. And when they came in, a harpist came at the same time, a person who played the harp. And I said to her, I said, why are you here? She said, the hospital paid for us to come in. We're here to play for one special family. I said, oh my gosh, who is that special family? They said, the Wiltsey family. I said, I'm the Wiltsey family. And so she came in, and my husband had been unconscious for 10 days. And she came into the room, and we came in at the same time. And as she played the harp, we did our healing. And when we were finished, she stopped at the same time we finished. It was just the most amazing thing. And my husband sat up in bed and said, hi. And I said, oh my God, Ed, you came back. He said, I came back because I just wanted to be with you guys.
Oh.
Now, from that point on, my husband never had the pain anymore. And he was not his personality. He was his divine being.
Yes.
Focusing through him.
Right. His higher self.
Exactly. And So I knew if I stayed in that hospital that they didn't believe in what I believed in. I had to find a different place to take him. So we took him to Nevada to a doctor down there who did alternative medicine. And the school paid for him to be transported by ambulance down there.
Wow.
$5,000.
Wow.
Transported. And I told the nurse who was overseeing him, do not give him anything for pain. He does not want it. I said, not only does he doesn't have the pain right now, but he does not want it.
Yes.
As my husband said, Em, don't let me go to sleep. Don't let me go to sleep. I want to feel every bit of this pain because I want to know what the attitudes were that created this.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That if they do give me those drugs, I will never own it.
Wow.
And so by the time we got it there, she had given him several shots of morphine. And so he was out of it by the time we got to Nevada. And so basically what happened is he had to go back into the hospital and it kept getting worse and worse. And I really was at my wit's end. I had tried everything I knew how to do to heal him and nothing worked. We had sometimes 12 people in the room doing healing all day and all night. And I would walk around his bed and do a discipline, which was to heal him. And that was calling forth his divine to come forth and heal him of all this disease and bring him back up to health and youth. And in his unconscious state, he would say, uh-uh. And so I said, these parasites are really strong. So I'd walk around the bed again, and then he'd go, uh-uh, call his divine forth. And so I did that until he didn't say uh-uh anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So later I laughed about it because I could see Ed saying to his divine inside, don't say another word. If you say uh-uh one more time, she'll march around this bed again.
I love it.
Eventually, the doctors could do nothing more. And I stood by his bed and I was silently crying because I didn't know what to do and I didn't want him to hear me. And my daughter says, Mommy, she was in her 20s, Mommy, late 20s, if you put your forehead on Daddy's forehead, he wants to show you what he wants to do.
Wow.
And I put my forehead on his forehead and there he was. He looked in about 25 years old. Mustache, curly head of hair, standing by a golden door. And I said, Ed, do you want to go through that door? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I release you. And he went,
oh.
He walked through the door. And so I told my daughter that Daddy's leaving. And she said, well, I don't know why you say that.
Mm.
And I said, because he just showed me. And she says, well, I was asking how to help Daddy. And the next thing I know, I was in the middle of a desert at night with the stars and the moon out and with an A-frame house in the distance. And so I went over to the house and this man came out with an orb underneath his arm. And I said, listen, I was just in the hospital asking how to help my dad. And next thing I know, I'm in the middle of this desert here and I'm talking to you. What's going on? How am I supposed to help my dad? Do you know the answer? And the man says, I'm polishing. So she's like, polishing. Okay, he didn't understand me. So she says the story again. He says, I'm polishing. And so she said, okay, I'm going to tell you one more time what happened. And so she tells him again, he said, if you want to help your father, pick up a cloth and polish. And next thing, she was back in the hospital.
Wow.
And so I said to her, your father's leaving. She said, how did you get that from that? And I said, I just realized that your father's been here all this time, these last few months, going through all this pain and looking at everything in this life because he's finishing up everything he hasn't owned before he leaves here, Emmy. That's why the person told you, if you want to help, pick up a cloth and polish. He's polishing his soul and getting ready to move to another place.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he did.
Oh my goodness.
And and in the school, they say, wait 3 days before you cremate the body because the person could come back. And so we did.
Yeah.
And in those 3 days, he kept talking to me, but I couldn't hear him. And so I was like, okay, look, I can't hear you. I'm getting mad now. Because you're whispering in my ear and I don't know what the heck you're saying. Mm. And so it was at that point that that he told me to go and into a computer that he sent me a birthday card, a singing birthday card, because he wanted me to remember what it was that he wanted to tell me.
Mm.
So the card was, hey, have you ever tried really reaching out for the other side? Maybe climbing on rainbows, but babe, don't you know? Dreams, they're for those who sleep. Life is for us to keep. If you're wondering what the soul is leading to, make it with you. And I said, oh, that's what you're trying to say. And at that point, I determined my name to be Veil Walker. And that I was going to learn how to walk through the veil to interact with my husband so I could understand what this journey was really about. And I spent the next year going to a psychic who, when I walked in, she said, oh, are you here because, you're on the spiritual journey and you're here because you're going to own it all in this lifetime? I said, no, I'm not here for that reason. And then she said, oh, there's someone here by the name of Edward.
So much for that.
Uh-huh. And so for the next year, she and I interacted so I could learn how to contact Ed and interact with him. And in January, on our anniversary, Ed came through and told me that I was to go to India because he and I had a journey there.
Mm.
And so I went to India for 6 weeks, spent 6 weeks in India at the Oneness University.
Mm-hmm.
And, every day that the teachers came in to talk, to teach in the morning, I would cry from the moment they said hello until they ended their talk around 1 o'clock. And then we'd have lunch. And 3 o'clock, we'd come back. And then the main teacher, just underneath Bhagavan and Amma, came in. And he, Kumarji, and he then would teach us an exercise to connect with your divine. And so I connected not only with Ed and my divine, and he connected with his divine. Amma and Bhagavan were there and with their divine. So there were all of us doing this Bollywood movie in my meditation. We're dancing and connecting. And so I danced for a couple hours every day with Ed. And I learned how to feel his hand in my hand and his hand around my waist. And we danced and we danced and we danced for 6 weeks. Mm. And I got to know that there was no real death, that Ed was perfectly fine, that everything that I experienced on this side was my pain, but had nothing to do with what the reality of eternity is about. And
yes,
I also realized that when my husband was standing right next to me in my band, my energy field, that's when I'd start crying. And so Kumarji told me, I was there the year after he passed in India. So I went through the whole time of his sickness in the hospital and his passing the next year in India. And so Kumarji said to me, I went up and I said, I have a question, because I couldn't connect with anyone in the States and I really wanted to understand what was going on. And I said, well, I have this question. He said, that's not your question. Ask me the real question. I said, okay, well, your teachers are telling me I need to let go of my husband. And for the last year, everyone I know told me I need to let go of my husband. And he said, absolutely not. I said, what? He said, absolutely not. You and your husband are on a journey together. He's been with you every day in this event, and he stood right next to you while we were teaching to make sure that you got every single bit of the teaching. I said, well, they said he's on his own journey. He is on his own journey, but he's made a path right next to himself for you, and he's pulling himself along, you along this journey with him. And so I said, oh, he said, haven't you danced with him every day in this event? Now, I never said that to anyone. So he actually saw Ed and me dancing every day when he was doing the teaching.
Oh, you had not mentioned what you were experiencing. So isn't that wonderful that you were in the presence of beings that were able to see these things so clearly?
Right.
And that, you know, they're at a frequency of perception that we all hope that we will attain. And I suspect that some of us will. I really do.
Yes.
Because my spiritual teacher in India, I spent 6 months in India, and his whole objective was to, you know, bring as many of us into an enlightened state. Well, you know, when those of us that are seekers, we're always curious, what does it mean to be enlightened? Because, you know, how is that even explained? I don't recall anyone explaining what it means to be enlightened. We have, I think, an idea of what that means, but the explanation of it in specifics, but more importantly, what does it feel like?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's, you know, if we're in this ascension process, and if that's what that means, that the ascension process brings many of us into that state of enlightenment where we're, you know, there is a sense of calm. I've been there myself. I know what it feels like. I do know what it feels like. I have had
the grace and the gift of profound experiences myself, where I was definitely not in this third dimension, and I had, you know, a direct experience of something that was much more real than this third dimension.
Yes.
And, you know, that was definitely a privilege. And I call it walking in the state of grace, which, you know, I was at the ranch a number of times. And that's when just whatever you need, whatever you want in that moment, you need a bobby pin, you look to the left, and there it is on the floor. You need the lights to turn green because you've got to get to the airport on time. The lights all turn green. You know that one. I know you know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's, then it's like, it's such fun to be in that state of grace. Like, that's what I call it. I don't know what other people call it, but I call it walking in the state of grace.
Yes,
when
yes.
everything just flows in such a profound way. It's like, oh, I'm in magic. I'm in the magic zone. And it's so much fun, you know? You feel humbled by the space that you're in, for sure. So now, bringing this back to your experience with Ed, and how do you go about, do you have courses to teach people what you learned? Does someone come to you who has someone on the other side that you are able to connect them with it? What would be the process?
Yeah, I have a course that we just started. We had, we did one last summer. It was called Veil Walking. And basically, I don't need someone from the other side. I've already been to the other side to tell me. I relate my experiences, and I give people the information and the knowledge of my experience so that they can realize that everything is possible, that the veil is only a perception in our own mind. It really doesn't exist. You know, it is a personality block that keeps us on this side. But when you have the opportunity to want to connect with someone on the other side because of the loss, the grief, the pain, the desire, the love, whatever you want to call it, you give yourself an opportunity to realize that there are many other ways to communicate than just in these three dimensions.
Mm.
And so when I do the course, I basically talk about some of my experiences, what happened before, what happened during, what happened after I realized that, and then, you know, techniques that you can use to connect with those on the other side so you can get answers for yourself and feel at peace. You know, most people say, well, do you see that person? Yes, but it's different than what you perceive. So I see my husband, but it's in here, but it's also out here. It's inside me, but it's outside of me. So when he comes to me, I see them in here, but I also, as I said, we are a projector. And so he comes through to talk to me, and I know he's standing there because I see it here, but I also see it, but not in the same way that you see it when you see it with your eyes. I'm seeing it with this internal eye. So I teach people about that. And one thing Drunvalo said is there's no right or wrong on how you do the work.
You
know, you can see,
yes,
touch, feel, or hear it, or know it. Any of those ways are legitimate ways of connecting with your divine or connecting with the other side.
Yes.
The problem is most people, they feel that, oh, I didn't do it right. Oh, I can't. I'm not sure. And so they put so much doubt that when they get the information, they shut it down. And that's why I didn't have an experience.
Yeah.
Experience, you judged it. And that's okay because you're concerned that you're not doing it right. But you need to know that it doesn't matter how you get the information. Whatever way you get it is correct. So, you know, that's what I teach in the course, and that's what I taught in Drunvalo's course when I taught Awakening the Illuminated Heart. It's the same process.
Now, where did you teach that course, if I may?
Here in Washington.
Ah.
I became an internationally certified teacher for Drumbelow for AITH, Awakening the Illuminated Heart. And so I taught that here in Washington with two other teachers, because we went to the school together. And it was a very profound course. It helped people to connect with their inner guidance, their inner spiritual development.
Hmm. Beautiful. That's good.
Yeah. So I use Love some it. Of that when I teach, because it helps for people to get even and get balanced with themselves before they move into the other work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And right now there's so many people that are losing people.
Exactly.
People really need to know that this isn't the end. That death isn't the end. It's only the end of the body, but not the end of the experience you can have with the person that you love.
And correct.
So because of that opening with my husband, you know, I have people who've lost an animal or whatever, and I'm talking to them, all of a sudden the animal's here talking to me. And so mm-hmm. I have a message, because the animal has a message for the person, you know, who sure. lost someone. Or I see people other than my husband, like my mother, or my sister who passed, you know, and I allow myself to accept that, and I don't judge any of that. And that's not to put doubt or judgment on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Every time when I'm doing a podcast, my little chihuahua, that you can see and the people can't, but that's she it. Insists on being up here, and she watches and listens. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. I mean, I'm so psychically attuned to her. It's crazy, you know?
Yes.
You know, I can call her in my mind, then she'll trot in from the other room, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, it's just great fun to experiment in that way.
I did that with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dog when the kids were growing up. He loved to sing when I would sing.
Ah!
So I would, he was an outside dog. And so I'd look out the kitchen window and I'd look at him. He'd look up and in my mind, I'd say, do you want to sing? And he'd go, whoo!
See, isn't that something?
So I just tested, are you ready to have your food? And he would go pound on his dish. So I didn't have to say it in words.
Right.
Very clearly.
Yes. You know, and I mean, that's such a wonderful demonstration, because the animals have no limitations. They don't, you know, they don't have those thoughts that interfere with, you know, that direct link that we all can have. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had 100 times, you know, I was just thinking about you and you just called, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, for us to continue to expand. And of course, we learned that in this school, you know, ways to have a demonstration of that, the various abilities that we can unlock in our consciousness and have access to that. You know, I think I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket, by God.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, that's interesting, because my book was written in exactly that same way. It was written because I heard the voice inside telling me what to do, and I refused to do it. And so I was in school at the time in a course called Women in Wisdom.
No way!
Yes, yes. That was my first course that I took after my kids were up and you know, brought up, and my grandchildren were small. And I heard, while I was sitting in class, my professor said, one of you or several of you will write a book about your experience. And I hear, you're going to write a book. I said, oh, no, in my mind, oh, no, I'm not writing a book. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. So I had this big fight going on. And so then a couple of weeks later, the same thing happened. And the voice says, go ask your professor. So I went over and I asked my professor. And she said, oh, yes, it'd be great. And if you write about Rompa, it would be really amazing. What? So I sat down and hear his voice say, see? that's a story. I don't know how much time we have, but basically it was through that connection and that understanding that I wrote the book. And with a lot of resistance, I must say. But I wrote it anyway because I was being pressed from the inside.
It's a wonderful book, and a book that people would gain a lot of insight from. And we only have a few minutes left with this time slot, but would you be kind enough to let people know how they could connect with you?
Yes. You can contact me at A Heart, H-E-A-R-T, like the heart in your body, Walker, at gmail.com, or Rafferty, R-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y, 1313 at protonmail.com. Both of those are emails that I accept information from. And then there's walking the veil at gmail.com. So any of those are a way to get hold of me if you're interested in the book. Or as I said, you know, the seminar, we are willing, like we talked before in the beginning, my team and I are willing to take the seminar to other places if people are interested in the seminar. It's a two-day seminar and walking.
Two days.
Mm-hmm. 2 days of walking the veil.
And so what would people learn in that seminar?
I would take them through some meditation so they could find that inner peace and the inner connection first. Talk about some of my journeys so they understand what it was about. And then I would take them on a journey of connecting to whoever it is that they want to connect with and how they would do that. And teach them about not judging or doubting their experiences. That when you have an experience, you know, it's legitimate, whatever the experience is. And I want to relay to them that, you know, there is no death. These people that have passed, that we love, are alive and well and on another journey. And whether they're on a journey into another dimension, another reality, a parallel reality, that's up to where they're divine and they are taking them, you know. But no matter what, you can connect with them. And so that's the important part.
Yes.
There's no real death.
And again, as we said, you know, there have been so many people flying off to other dimensions for, you know, this strange era that we find ourselves in. That would be so. Let's think about that and see. You know, here in Sedona, of course, there are so many teachers and and seminars that are developed here, and people come from all over the world to Sedona for that purpose. And of course, it's a wonderful place for people to come to learn and enjoy the beautiful space here and walk on the red rocks. It's gotten a bit commercial here, but you know, there's still a great deal to gain here in this beautiful red rock country.
Well, the energy is beautiful.
Oh, yes. So, my dear, I think this brings us to an end to another segment of Wise Women. Again, I so appreciate you, Amber Wiltsey, and your wonderful journey that you've been on. And of course, so many of us that have had these in-depth experiences and studies that were, how do we put that on a resume? Yes. How is that going to fit on a bio? You know, what degree in our evolution here can be awarded to us from, I don't know, maybe we should start some special award ceremony for those of us who are on the trail of the seekers. So,
well, just so you know, I did get a 4-year degree from Evergreen in walking as God, not walking with God, not walking.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, I took a, I'm wrote a contract, walking as God, and then I proved what I was doing over the year, and I got a four-year college degree in walking as God.
Wow. Well, that's
I don't think
that might be
else in the world with that one.
Okay. Well, with that said, I think it's a good, perfect close to this segment of Wise Women. Amber, thank you so much for being a guest again on Wise Women. And we do thank Gary Null for creating this wonderful opportunity for us and share the information. Amber, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And everyone, have a beautiful week and hope to hear you again. We will connect with you. We'll connect with you on the ethers. I know that you're out there listening. So God bless everyone. That's all for now. Take good care. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life.